ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Reading this morning from the 11th canto, chapter 5, text 32. Please repeat after me. Krishna vanam tvisha krishnam.
Krishna vanam tvisha krishnam.
Sangopangastrapashadam.
Sangopangastrapashadam.
Yagyai sankirta na prajaya jajanti sumedasa krishna vanam tvisha krishnam sangopangastra pashadam Yagyai Sankirtana Prajaya Jajanti Sumedasa. Yes, someone else, please. Krishna Vanam Tisha Krishnam Sangopangastrapashadam Yagyai Sankirtana Prajaya Yajanti Sumedasa. Krishna Vanam Tvisha Krishnam Sangasthapashadam Jagyai Sankirtana Prajaya Jajanti Sumedasa. Maybe one Vaishnavi can also chant, please. Krishna Vanam Tvisha Krishnam Sangopangastrapashadam Yagya Sankirtana Prajaya Yajanti Sumedasa Krishna Vanam. Repeating the syllables Krishna Tvisha with a luster. Akrishnam, not black but golden. Saranga, along with associates. Upanga, servitors. Astra, weapons. Pashadam, confidential companions. Yagyai, by sacrifice. Sankirtana Prajaya, consisting chiefly of congregational chanting. Jajanti, they worship. He, certainly. Sumedasaha, intelligent persons. In the age of Kali, intelligent persons perform congregational chanting to worship the incarnation of Godhead who constantly sings the names of Krishna. Although his complexion is not blackish, he is Krishna himself. Do you know his name? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, yes. He is accompanied by his associates, servants, weapons, and confidential companions. So, this same verse is quoted by Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami, and Srila Prabhupada has given the following commentary. I read now Prabhupada's commentary. This text is from Srimad Bhagavatam. Srila Jiva Goswami has explained this verse in his commentary on the Bhagavatam, known as the Krama Sandarbha, wherein he says that Lord Krishna also appears with a golden complexion. That golden Lord Krishna is Lord Chaitanya, who is worshipped by intelligent men in this age. That is confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam by Gaga Muni, who said that although the child Krishna was blackish, he also appears in three other colors, red, white, and yellow. He exhibited his white and red complexions in the Satya and Treta ages respectively. He did not exhibit the remaining color yellow gold until he appeared as Lord Chaitanya, who is also known as Gaura Hari, the Golden Hari. It's a very, very long purport. I will just take another excerpt, because you might be wondering, it is said he appeared with his weapon. What was the weapon of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? I mean, we don't know of swords and chakra. He is once or twice invoked, but why weapon? Sangopangastra Pashadam further indicates that Lord Chaitanya is Lord Krishna. His body is always decorated with ornaments of sandalwood and with sandalwood paste. So he has ornamented drawings on his body, but also just paste covering some parts of his body. By his super excellent beauty, he subdues all the people of the age. In other descents, the Lord sometimes used weapon to defeat the demoniac, but in this age the Lord subdues them with his all attractive figure as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Srila Jiva Goswami thus explains that his beauty is his astra or weapon to subdue the demons. Yes, Mahaprabhu was a very wonderful sight to be beheld, and anyone who saw him only for a moment, especially when they saw him dancing, this was something, they would always keep the image of the Lord within their heart, because it was not only attractive beauty, it was really transformative beauty. No? Therefore, his weapon, he defeated the demoniac tendencies in the heart. Yesterday we heard from Keshava Maharaj, because the Mayavadis like the Brahma Jyoti, when Prakashananda Saraswati was meeting upon Mahaprabhu, Mahaprabhu had set himself very humbly where they washed their feet a place that was a little smelly from the salt-like perspiration from the feet. He sat there and he manifested this effulgence, and he looked so effulgently beautiful that Prakashananda was won over just by this darshan. Good. So it is said this form of the Lord is worshipped in the age of Kali by people who are Sumedasa, who are very keen in intellect, through the chanting. This intellect here doesn't refer to the accumulation of data, where a person can be considered intelligent when he is able to store a lot of knowledge and repeat it at the appropriate time. No, Sumedasa, very fine intelligence, refers to exploring the truths of the self, the immortal, unchanging self, and the super self. So yes, we will hear today a little bit how we can worship this form Sukirtan, and how that is a worship. And we will address a doubt also. Why only Hare Krishna? Why not others? Do you know, today we will most probably chant 12 hours the same 16 words. That requires some insight. Why? This is Hare Krishna. It is quite something. So let us offer our obeisances. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashnaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pachanine Nirvishesha Shunyavari Paskatyade Satarine Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. When the Kirtan Melas started in Srila Mayapur, some disciples of Srila Prabhupada raised a question. The question was, why do we only chant the names of Krishna as they appear in the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra? Why not chant, for instance, other authorized names which Mahaprabhu chanted in his time? Shri Ram Govinda Hari Hari, for instance, that is a mantra which Mahaprabhu chanted in another mantra. Ends with Vanamali. You can find five such mantras in the Chaitanya Bhagavat. Others also said, well, the idea is to glorify Krishna, that is what Kirtan means. Why not chant other glorifications, as we find written by Bhaktivinoda Thakur and others? These disciples of Prabhupada were concerned that the Kirtan culture in ISKCON would be properly done according to our tradition. And there were other chants which were Sri Krishna, Hare, Sri Krishna Govinda, Hare Murari Hinatana, Rayana Vasudeva. A very, very common chant which has also, we found references in our scriptures. So there was a discussion, and in the discussion, one disciple quoted the Kali Shantara Upanishad, who is accepted as the uncontested authority. It's an Upanishad, very old scripture. There we find Narada Muni approaching the creator of the universe, Lord Brahma, with a serious question that has been on his mind. It has given him some inner turmoil, some deep exploration. He said, "O great soul," Lord Brahma is truly a great soul, no? "Please tell me, how can living beings born in this troublesome Kali Yuga be free from the bad influences of the age?" Surprisingly, this is a deep, I mean, not surprise, this is a very deep question. How can people in this age, which spreads such a, I think the word which His Holiness Jayadvaita Maharaj used was pesky or pesty. I have not yet looked it up. It's a really mean atmosphere. How can they become free from this? Brahma said, "Well, by chanting the names of the Adipurusha." If you look up the word Adipurusha, Govindam Adipurusham Tamaham Vajami, it means the original person, the source of all sources, beyond whom there is no other source. No, so they must chant. They should chant the names of the Adipurusha. Now Narada Muni, being truly interested, he wanted to find a sadhana, a spiritual practice. He said, "Which names are that? The names of the Adipurusha." And then Brahma Samhita, then Lord Brahma, not Brahma Samhita, he said, "Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare." And he said, "Iti sudar shakam nam nam kali kalmasha nashanam nata parataro paya sarva vedeshu drishyate." I can't imagine that he put an electric ragini on for emphasis, but he said this verse. It means, chant the holy names of the Lord, particularly Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And then he said, "This collection of 16 names is the only destroyer of sins in Kali Yuga. No other remedy can be found in any part of the Vedic literature." So you could make a thorough study of the Vedic scriptures, and you will find many names of the Lord. You know, in one canto of the Bhagavatam, there are sometimes up to 52 Sanskrit names used for Krishna. It is original, a really authorized name. But Brahma, he makes the point that that when it comes to destroying the sins, the bad influence of Kali Yuga, this is the remedy. And you will soon see why this is the remedy in Brahma's mind. In this way, concluded Brahma, the illusory coverings of the soul, which are composed of 16 constituents, are automatically destroyed. And then he said, "At that time, Lord Krishna fully manifests before the jiva, like the rays of the sun upon the removal of a cloud." Let's stop here for a moment. We are all covered by how many coverings? 16. What are these? I looked them up. 5 material sense organs, 5 pranas, 5 working organs, and then the subtle body, mind, intellect and ego. This amounts to 16 coverings, they are removed. And once that is done, a similar effect to the removal of the clouds in the sky is attained. You see something that was covered. What you precisely perceive is the soul and Krishna. No, we have seen this also after prolonged chanting sessions. Devotees, sometimes when they leave the kirtan, say Krishna, which ordinarily they may not say. They may dream of Krishna, and they may talk about Krishna things, because there was a purifying potency of the Lord acting upon them, and a revelatory Shakti came. Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes in a beautiful work called Nam Tattva that when it says there are Shaktis in the holy name, one of the Shaktis is a revelatory Shakti. What does this mean? Because we are not all English speaking entities. It reveals something to you. It shows something to you. It's more than just intuitive knowledge where you intuit something. Something is shown to you from another source than your own mind. It's revealed, in other words, to you. That is Krishna. So two potencies are there. We are purified from the coverings, and the holy name starts to reveal things. So Narada Muni, then, being groomed in the Vedic tradition, he's part of the Vedic tradition, he will ask now a question which is for people who are really serious in doing something. He wants to know the sadhana, the practice. What are the rules for chanting this Mahamantra? Tell me, great soul. And surprisingly, Brahma answers, none. Anyone, any person can chant at any time, even in the evening or night time, which is usually... it's Vedic rules or Vedic processes are not done except for some tantric yagyas, but that is not for us. So anyone can chant at any time, irregardless if you are pure soul or an impure soul. Your qualification, in other words, does not matter. You become qualified by doing it. Something is given to you that was not there before. And there are benefits which Brahma mentions. One is you are liberated from the influence of Kali Yuga, and the second is you attain this rare love for Krishna. Krishna Prema. You will see when you do chanting, this is the initial things are already heralding, you know, just like when the sun rises, you don't see the sun suddenly, it's pitch black dark night, and then bang, the sun is visible. No, it's a slow process. You may first see the rays of the sun which come over the eastern horizon. It's a beautiful moment in a day, no? And then slowly the light increases. So it may be that in the beginning, as the Krishna sun rises in your heart, you only experience some lightness because some karma is removed from you, some sinful, some reactions to your previous ignorant activities. You might also feel in the very beginning enthusiastic all of a sudden and get up and dance. This is what Srila Prabhupada pointed out, that upon chanting, someone feels the desire to dance. One word about dancing. Sometimes you're dancing, you should dance. Dance is something else than walking back and forth, you know, because otherwise you get rolled over by the man before or after. Dance, you know, this is for the pleasure of Krishna. It is very good. It's meant for pleasing Krishna. So all the sons, the Ananta Sanghita says, all the sons, disciples, heard all this from Brahma, and therefore they accepted the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. They meditated on it, they chanted it, and they attained all perfection. Sometimes scholars who hear this will say, no, the mantra is not Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. And they show you manuscripts of the Kali Shantara Upanishad. It is Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. In other words, the order is reversed. One Vaishnava scholar says, well, strictly speaking, the Kali Shantara Upanishad belongs to the Vedic era. And there, Brahmanas, only Brahmanas were allowed to chant these Vedic scriptures. Sutras were not. But because, so therefore, there is some rule that Sutras should not touch the Vedic scriptures. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in his time, where there were a lot of smarter Brahmanas, that's what they say, he therefore changed the order of this mantra, and he started with Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, and not Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Prabhupada addressed this point where there is some doubt in a very beautiful, realized way. He said, sometimes they place first of all Hare Rama and then only Hare Krishna. Sometimes they say Hare Rama should be chanted first. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. You find when you go in India, many people greet you, Hare Rama. You know, they have heard this. And then he says, but this is not very important. And he says, it's childish. Either you say first Hare Rama first, or then Hare Krishna, it's the same. And what Prabhupada is talking about here is, in the incessant flow of chanting, such differences disappear. Do you understand? When you chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. You don't know it's a Hare Rama first of all. It disappears. It's all a flow of divine names. I thought just this is maybe a little interest, because we in ISKCON are interested in controversies, and here is one, and a solution is given. Good. So I wanted to now make another point. Jiva Goswami goes through some effort to establish how the kirtan sung with many is the supermost practice in Kali Yuga. He says in Anucheta, it comes in the Bhakti Sandarbha, Anucheta 269, Sankirtan, or chanting with others, is superior even to Kirtan, which means chanting alone. I call it bathroom chanting, you know where we are. At least in the culture where I grew up, when you enter the bathroom, you are very joyfully singing, especially when cold shower comes. That is what my mother taught me. I don't know if it is still prevalent, but bathroom is not just for all these other things, for preparing yourself for the day through joyful singing. So Sankirtan, chanting with others, is superior even to Kirtan, chanting alone, because, listen to this, it produces such extraordinary feelings. Now this is interesting. How does Sankirtan create delightful feelings? Or a rasa. If we go to those parts of our tradition which teach about rasa, we will find that for an mystical and aesthetic experience, you require the company of like-minded souls. I would like to add, I don't know if the old Ratha theorists would be happy with this, but I have in the last year studied a little bit the mystery of football. There are personal reasons for this, which don't belong in the scripture. Just, I was intrigued, how is it possible that so many people, stadiums sometimes can, in Germany we have one which can hold 80,000 people. I heard Wembley Stadium, it's 90,000 maybe. And they come repeatedly into these stadiums and they totally enjoy the experience. It is broadcasted in over the TV, and you will find people in Yugoslavia, I saw this, the people go to bars and they are looking at the TV set and they follow the movements of the players and they become all excited about the various parts of the game. Why is this so? I saw one video clip which someone sent me of a Swiss person who was there in one game. His team played against another team and it was losing, and he was profoundly crying. He was feeling great, great misery, existential misery due to his, as Jayavedha Maharaj has, this bodily identification with Switzerland, you know. So then Switzerland was gaining the upper hand unexpectedly. They have a very good goalkeeper, Mr. Sommer, I learned. Was winning. And then he was so delighted, he pulled up his shirt, he was waving his shirt, and he was crying tears of happiness. Mind you, this was not a hooligan, it was a cultured Swiss person. Someone like Jai Gopal, you know, only really a respectable person. And I was just looking at this and I could understand, because there are 90,000 people in the stadium and they emotionally react to what is happening. They help each other to come into a heightened state of emotionality, which is manifesting in tears and in great happiness. And people today are so dead they are not in contact with themselves any longer. You can even see some of our dancing is not really alive. We are just going through the move because maybe we don't get breakfast if we don't move along, you know. But there is no contact to delight or the feelings of Krishna is wonderful. It's just, okay. And so on. But if you go into the kirtan and chant and dance without these psychological blocks which we have, you will also experience a let go of things, and it will be a very, very delightful experience. Jiva Goswami says what Sankirtan means in another place of his Sandavas. Sankirtan means, he says there, to blissfully meet with many people, to sing about Sri Krishna, and to do so loudly for the benefit of others. My dear devotees, there is something about this group petition. His Holiness Dhanoda Maharaj has written something. He was writing about how Brahma, when he requests Krishna to appear, goes with many devatas to the shore of the milk ocean. Many. So there he chants to petition the Lord's advent. So one commentator, a Vaishnav commentator, rhetorically questions why Brahma brought such an entourage of luminaries with him when he was perfectly qualified to gain direct access to the Lord by the purity of his own prayer. He didn't need many. In the past, Krishna had many times appeared to him, most famously, you know, this time after which hero, where Brahma had a total darshan of the spiritual world and wrote Brahma Sanghita. Why now he goes with so many? And the explanation is, is that bhakti is a path of entreaty where you ask him, and collective prayers, collective petitioning invokes extraordinary feelings of grace and delight. Krishna, in other words, when we come with many before his door, if you want to explain it like this, or to him, he feels more inclined than if you come alone. Also, when we are with many, we help each other in our spiritual, concentration or focus. I was thinking like this when Bhartahari Prabhu gave this beautiful lawn kirtan, when we sat down there where the river is and the mountains are. And usually when you sit in the outside, the mood can be a little distractive. Programs which are done in the outside, sometimes it's difficult to focus the crowd of people. But it was so wonderful that we all, I think, felt, oh, let me chant some more. Let me not look at my wristwatch or my mobile telephone. I'm here for chanting. Finished. So yes. So today, my dear devotees, the organizers of the retreat have set aside the time that we can have a maximum amount of chanting. Here we will do so. Here we will have devotees who come and join us from other parts of Switzerland. And I request you all to use the time wisely. I think at home we can eat prasadam, we can listen to lectures, good lectures over Zoom there, or over the computer. There are now many good lectures on the internet, which are very fascinating and interesting, and so on. You can do many things alone, but Sankirtan, you need every one of us. You need many people. And then you will have also delightful feelings in relationship to Krishna. You will start to become more aware of him, and you will become more blissful. I sometimes consider going to Kirtan a therapy. This is a personal word, it is not. Because sometimes I find myself unwilling to be with many and to sing and sit for so long. And then also some Kirtan are not grabbing my heart as much as other Kirtans do. But I make it a point to sit there. Today I don't know, because I need to prepare for the last leg of this 2 months preaching tour. But I will also make sure to be a maximum of time there. And I find out that sometimes in Kirtan you need to subdue the restless mind. And you do this by sitting and by focusing on chanting. And when the mind is really obnoxious and wants to either sleep during the kirtan and shuts you out so that you fall asleep, or the mind is just, it's so distracted during kirtan, and or so unwilling and rebellious, you just have to go through that period. And then, as Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur says, the Kana Randana effect of Kirtan takes place. It's the ear-piercing ceremony. The holy name just goes through, not the wax, but the coverings which you have. It pierces you, and the ego will scream, "Ah, no, no, no!" And the mind will say, "No, no, 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 no!" But if you remain sitting and you just chant prayerfully, "Please help me, please help me," then the holy name may pierce through, and then it comes to your core, your essential nature as a devotee, and your heart starts to flood. This is described in the Hari Bhakti Kalpa scripture, a book which Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur kept in print. It's the holy, when the holy name comes and pierces through, it comes into the heart. There is something like a lake, a repository of feelings, and it goes there, and the lake begins to move and then flood over and come out of through your mouth in the chanting. But you have to be patient enough to let the holy name pierce through your layers of unwillingness and rebellion and boredom and everything else, which are all symptoms of the one disease that is turning away from Krishna. When you chant, my dear devotees, your relationship to Krishna is right before you. Is it good? Then you like the chanting. Is it not so good? Then you feel a little bit unengaged in chanting, and so on. But here comes the beauty. As you engage with the chanting and surrender to the process of chanting, your relationship with Krishna will also get new life and will become very active after some time. And you develop real taste in Krishna consciousness. I want to end here. I wish you a wonderful Kirtan day, third day of our full retreat. And please pace yourself. There may be times when it may be not possible for you to sit overly long, like 12 hours or so. Pace yourself and take enough time for eating and for the left side and everything. But give it a good shot and you will make a good experience. It is the most powerful therapy for transformation which you can do. It's the most powerful process because a powerful agent beyond your own capabilities, that is the Holy Name, will come and work at you. Hare Krishna. Now it's 9:15. We still have a little time. I will take two questions. Would you like to pose a question? Mangala is there? Yes.
Thank you for your inspiring classes. And I was wondering, you mentioned that when this Holy Name slowly appears, it's like the sun rises. Mm-hmm. Is there anything we can do to make more room for it, so give it some space so that it doesn't run away again very quickly?
Yeah. Get to know the offenses, those which block the Holy Name, and make a serious attempt to avoid the offenses. Because we have older devotees here, I would like to alert you to a beautiful lecture of His Holiness Bhaktivedyan Goswami Maharaj, who said that there's only one offense from which all other offenses come, and that is the tenth offense. In the translation it means to not have complete faith in the chanting and to remain attached to ahammameti. What this means is really you stay in your own self-constructed world, in the world of your upadis, in the world of your mind. And from this, others come. For instance, to preach the glories to others of the Holy Name. Why would you do this? Well, you want to impress others and get followers. It is due to being in your own world, no? Your own self-aggrandizement. There are other things, like the seventh offense, to commit sins on the strength of chanting. Why would you do this? You would do this because your ego wants to be the enjoyer and use the Holy Name, no? And if you go through all the ten offenses, you will always find a trace of ego, ahammameti, as the cause. And therefore, the lectures which Jayadvaita Maharaj gives are extremely insightful and necessary, because he is focusing on understanding that we are a soul, that we have to uncover from the upadis, sarvupadi vinirmuktam. Maharaj has quoted twice this verse already. So, yes, and the most grossest manifestation of this tenth offense, no, to not have complete faith and stay in the association, and stay attached to your own world, ahammameti, your own views, your own deliberations on a subject, is when you come together with a devotee and he has a different opinion than you, then there's clash and you make Vaishnava aparad. Or he says something which doesn't fit in your mindset and you revolt inside. So this coming out of this false concept, it really, there is really a lot to be said how to do this, how to realize that I'm an eternal soul. It means to clear yourself from misconceptions, both in your perception and in your realization. It means you have to see how you can advance. And there are certain things like the Buddha Shuddhi meditation, which are given for this. No, in simple words, Krishna, I have forgotten you since so many long years. I'm yours really, but I have turned against you. But today I'm turning to you. There are many things to be said. I cannot say this in the short time which we have. But yes, ultimately Mangala and all others, we need to get out of our own self-constructed universe where we are, where our ego is the center, and we need to do this better before death, you know, because if we are not, we will be reborn in a version of our world. If we can enter more and more in a Krishna-centered world, then we will come into Krishna's world. It's very important, this. And therefore, Prabhupada, again and again, he brought it to the point, you know. You're not the body, you're the soul. This is one take on it. You wanted to, say, create space for the Son of the Holy Name. It means to get the clouds out, which takes the clouds of anattas and aparadas, which take now the space, your mental space, your inner space. It's serious work, really. It is not some, it is serious work. Woo. And please, you all Vaishnavs, you are Vaishnavs, you please bless me, because my inner space is very full of many things which shouldn't be there. And that is the reason why the Holy Name is still not able to shower his full mercy upon me personally. Yeah. He wants, he is ready, but I'm producing clouds and fog. So I said two questions. I would rather stick with this one question. Why? Because we should be taking our prasadam. It should not be so long, because a whole day of chanting waits for us. I thank you very much. I wish you all the best, and Hare Krishna. Yeah.